Hi, I'm Stephen Rickard, and here is an interview I had with Dave Holmes, who has written a book titled Party of One, a memoir of 21 songs, now in stores and online. Dave was the runner-up on the MTV show Wanna Be a VJ in 1998. Remember that one? I began asking Dave about the day of the tryouts and how he almost decided to get a few hours of sleep at 4 a.m. By the way, he did get out of bed, and the rest is history.
You know, like it's, I am living a completely different life now than I would have any other way, and I really almost missed it just to sleep a little bit more, which is crazy. The lesson there is, like, if there's a silly thing you want to do, do it. Do it. It could lead you somewhere great.
Well, you and I both share a passion for MTV because I got in right about a year. Our area got it about the fall of 82, and yeah. We both were MTV junkies. And that was the thing for folks our age.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the one. I mean, it was revolutionary because it was visual. It was it scared even like slightly older adults. You know what I mean? Like it's a lot of rock music scares grown-ups, but like MTV scared like older teenagers a little bit because it was so, you know, people showed up with weird haircuts and crazy makeup on their face, and it was so. It was so unique and new, and I could not get enough. It seemed to me to be like, and I think a lot of people who grow up feeling like oddballs feel this way. To me, it was a window into a world where I could fit in, you know, where I could meet, you know, like be myself and meet interesting people and you know, really live. You don't often see that when you grow up in the Midwest.
Well, yeah, and of course MTV had the original VJs, which was your personal favorite.
Oh boy. You know, I met Martha Quinn later in life, and she was absolutely lovely, as you would imagine she would be. I think I'd probably have to go. I mean, I like them all. I like them all. And I work with them all. I work at Sirius now, and so do they, and I bump into them now and then, and they couldn't be nicer. But I mean, you know, I got a sweet spot for Martha Quinn. Who doesn't?
Oh yeah, who doesn't? I had a chance to talk to Mark Goodwin. So I've had a chance to talk. So now you're my second VJ. How about that?
All right. I'll take it.
All right. Another quick little MTV question for you. Sure. Something else we also have shared a passion for, according to in your book. You were a really big fan when Real World came out.
Oh, huge.
And up until, I don't know, I guess season eight or nine after that, mm-hmm. I pretty much lost the love for it. But what was your favorite season of The Real World? Which was your favorite cast?
Wow. You know, I got to do Heather B's show yesterday from the first season of The Real World. And she is as lovely as you would imagine. She's so funny. And she's exactly what you would expect from having watched her. I mean, that first one is hard to top. You know, I love the first season because, you know, and you can go back to it now. It's on like Hulu or Netflix or something.
Yeah.
And it's like a Ken Burns documentary now. Like it's so slowly paced and thoughtful and like none of the people who are in the cast know like where to look when they're doing like their interviews or even when they're talking to each other. It's like they were doing something that was so completely new. Now I think it's, you know, people show up for me. Once they started putting a hot tub in the house, that's when it went off the rails.
Yeah.
Now people show up and they know what kind of character they want to play, and it's a little disappointing.
Well, my
I love the first one, and I love Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle was real good, and Boston will always be my favorite cast.
Boston's your favorite cast?
Boston, yes.
Wow, that's a bold choice.
Yeah, and Genesis was always my favorite character to watch.
Wow.
And actually, that's the only one I still have on, of all things, videotape. It's sitting somewhere in a box somewhere.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, Sean is a big politician now.
Yes. That you never would have predicted by watching the show.
No, I mean, I can't imagine anybody could run for public office after being on that show. Certainly they couldn't anymore.
Mm-hmm. And I love the part where you say going out in public after that first show aired, people would start looking at you funny. And
sure.
I'm at a hockey rink in Evansville, Indiana, and I'm the MC.
Yeah.
And I will walk in a crowd, and people will start looking at me strange and look at their kid and say, and point. And I'll say, what are they looking at me for?
Yeah.
What have I done? Was I on a wanted poster? So you shared some of those similar things after being immediately recognized on TV those first couple years at MTV.
Yeah, it was very strange. I mean, people just sort of, there's something about, like, when you're on stage or in front of a microphone or in front of a camera or whatever, and then you step into actual life, like, people do tend to gawk at you, and it's a very strange thing, and it is as though you're still on television when they see you out in the street, so they talk about you like you're not there sometimes. It's a strange thing, and it's especially for people like us who are sort of in between. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we're not, like, stars of TV who you go like, oh, there's that guy from that show, and you whatever. It's, you know, we do things where people feel like they know us a little bit, and so they'll sometimes just come and stand near us and point at us. It's very strange. I don't know about you, but I check my nose and my zipper every time because I just assume that that's what's going on. Steve Martin said, like, if you put a pineapple on TV and then took that pineapple to a mall, people would go like, oh, there's the pineapple from TV.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a thing that happens. You know, it's very strange, and it's very strange to be the person that it happens to, because I never would have imagined it.
So, real quickly, a party of one is out in stores. And
it is.
Tell us
today
how you melded songs with your stories.
Well, you know, music has been my life. I've lived a very strange life and a life kind of on the margins here and there, and music is the thing that I sort of numbed my pain with, and it's. You know, I always have music playing in my ears. And so to tell my stories, it's almost impossible not to weave music into it somehow. You know, it's music is sort of how I make sense of the world, you know. And I write about it a lot for various, you know, magazines and websites and whatever. And I found that when I would write about songs or charts or whatever from years gone by, I would weave in personal stories. And then commenters would leave their own, you know, would talk about their memories of a song or of a movie or whatever. Like, we sort of, pop culture is sort of how we come to understand ourselves and our culture. And so, you know, I had always planned to compile my stories because I tell stories on stage and I, you know, and on podcasts and whatever. And I'd always wanted to put them into book form, but to do it with music sort of as the guide really started to make sense once I started writing more and more. And now I feel like it does kind of hold together as a mixtape of the last 40 years, my evolution and our sort of pop cultural evolution.
Well, it was definitely a great read, and I enjoyed Jim
Cheney so
on the Washington Post gave you great reviews, and a lot of people are saying good things. So I appreciate a few minutes, and thanks for your time, and good luck rest of the way.
Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Take care.
Uh-huh.